there is a judgment that is to come, and that all will stand before a holy God. What will be my case? And thirdly, where will I spend eternity? When you talk about eternity, you can't even think about it in terms of time. Time is no more. I remember when I was a young child and I had the thought about eternity, and it just so overwhelmed me, even at that age, to think that I would never cease existing. The body dies, but the soul lives on, and it'll live on either separated from God in eternal condemnation, or it'll live on in eternity in his presence. But either way, we will never stop existing, such as the way that God has made these souls. And so these are thoughts and questions that if we haven't considered them, it's time to consider. And perhaps even through a message like this would cause us to pause and ask ourselves, what is our comfort and hope? I don't want a false comfort. I don't want a false hope. There are many that have a hope, but it's not a good hope. There's some that when you ask them, it's presumptive hope. They say, well, I did what my preacher told me to do. I said my prayer and I've been living according to God's commandments as best I can. And that's my hope. I've heard some tell me that on their deathbed as I've gone to visit them, but that's no hope. And in love, you tell them the truth, that if that's your hope, then there's no hope. There's some that, in their ignorance, they say, well, I have a hope-so hope. When you ask them about facing a holy God and justice, well, I hope that my life is such that, and they'll even use the term, he'll be merciful. Never having considered how it is that God can be merciful. How can God be just and justify a sinner? So that's the reason we need a good hope. So he says, I acknowledge my transgression. Those who are the Lord's, they don't take lightly their transgression. That word transgression means to violate the law. Strong language used there in 2 Samuel 12, despising the Lord. And my sin is ever before me. He didn't get over this at all throughout his lifetime. He thought about it, just as the Lord brings to mind our sinfulness, even though forgiven in Christ, yet we know who we are. And so he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified. See, that's what it's about, justifying God. When thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. So if the Lord's going to do a work of grace, it's going to be in truth. And there you can put Christ. As Christ is revealed, it's revealed in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You can also put Christ's name there. Make me to know Christ. Make me to know how it is you can be just and justified. Whether it's the Old Testament or New, this is how God deals with sinners that he's purposed to save. So he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Well, how does God hide his face from our sin? They're hidden in Christ. He's taken.